You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Junks. Time now to head out to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We welcome back in John Fanta, national college basketball broadcaster, and he's also a writer for Fox Sports. John, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it.
Guys, good morning. Great to be with you. It's hard to believe we are just over 4 weeks away from Selection Sunday.
Yeah, it's coming, and we'll definitely get into a lot of college hoops, but we wanted to touch on something personal for you first. We know you're a Cleveland diehard, and yes, that's tough sports-wise for you, especially being a Browns fan.
Hey, the Cavs are solid this year.
The Cavs are very good, but the Browns are a mess. We know you love the Browns. Is there any ray of hope for the Browns in the future? I mean, let's kind of go through what's going on there. They gave Deshaun Watson maybe the worst contract ever in the history of pro sports. Miles Garrett wants out. He's like your most marketable and best defensive player. The Haslams are terrible owners, and you guys are in salary cap hell. Other than that, how are things going in Cleveland for the Browns?
And Baker's thriving elsewhere.
That is true.
Well, hold on that one. I mean, he's a nice regular season quarterback. I say this until the sun goes down. Baker Mayfield will never sniff a conference championship game. It will never happen. He's a quality quarterback, but the Browns felt that they had a team that they could win a championship with, and so they went and pulled the trigger on Deshaun Watson, and it was a seismic mistake that they made. And if they didn't do it, somebody else was going to certainly do it. And they took a shot, and it did not work. It was a classic Browns to the maximum degree move that was horrible. As for the state of the franchise, honestly, Washington is an example to the Browns and to many others that if you don't have things right at the quarterback position, nothing else really matters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can make one quality pick, and I know that Jaden Daniels don't just come around every single year, that maybe things can turn. Here's the thing: the Browns have talent. Like they you're right. They do have a massive salary cap issue, and the Watson thing is a disaster, no question about it. But the roster, Miles Garrett wanting out is a horrible look. It's that hit Browns fans like a ton of bricks, and it should, because you're talking about a guy who's going to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, who's one of the best defensive players of this generation, and for him to want out just is a testament to that organization and their structure and their dysfunction. So it's to be honest right now, there's no question. It's brutal. It is. But it's, as you guys well know, salary cap hell or not, let's be real here. The NFL is not I'm going to have a 5 to 7 year plan, and we're going to build that plan gradually, and then eventually we're going to win. You've got to nail the pick at two. Now, I think that they will take a quarterback. I mean, I think that. I love Abdul Carter, and with Garrett out, I think that I can understand why you do that, because every time I'm watching Abdul Carter on any tape, I'm super impressed. But we have just become a league in the NFL. This league has become, if you've got one of the top picks, you're taking a quarterback. Because like I just said, unless you have it right at that position, nothing else really matters. And if you take a quarterback, and let's say you sign a veteran, I'll get to that in a second, you either you nail it, or if you don't, you're right back at square one, having to take another quarterback. And until you do nail it and get that franchise quarterback, nothing else really matters. Now, the one caveat, Kevin Stefanski's a good coach. I actually think it would have been in his best interest to get out of Cleveland and to say, you know what, I'm out. He would have landed on his feet. He would have gotten another job. I have no doubt about that. Kevin's now fighting for his job. Does he want to really play a rookie quarterback next season in this draft class? You know, does he? And do you want it to be Shedeur Sanders? Because that's what it would be. And I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. Mm. I think they're going to – here's my prediction, and you guys, this sums up the Browns, but not a good football team, guys. They're just not. I think that Kirk Cousins will be their starter.
Oof. Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's a decent
Makes
bridge. If you don't love the quarterbacks in the draft, he's a decent option.
And he's cheap.
Yeah, they can get him on the cheap.
Stefanski worked with him Minnesota.
Right.
And here's the last thing I'll say about Stefanski. Like, and the Browns, and again, I know how bad it was, but like they played a last place schedule 2 years ago, and look what Joe Flacco did. They will play a very weak schedule this upcoming season. That Kirk Cousins and Kevin Stefanski and figuring some things out, like, you know, they could be competitive, but organizationally it's a disaster because they really thought that they could be a championship contender after making the playoffs last year, now parlayed into a big season. And Watson, that move will forever live on in infamy.
Talking to John Fanta on the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Of course, John, National College Hoops broadcaster, also about to be a new dad. And
yeah, congrats.
I saw your
Thank
tweet.
You very much.
Apparently a hero because you continued to broadcast while a Diet Coke was spilled on you.
Yes. So on, let's see, Tuesday night, in Milwaukee, I had Marquette and DePaul with Tom Crean, who is just an awesome guy, and had a very nice career on the sidelines, and now is taking over in the broadcast booth and doing a great job. And we are only in a couple minutes into the game, and a player flies into us, bangs into the monitor, WWE style. The monitor comes down. It's like the Seinfeld Keith Hernandez episode. The monitor comes down, crashes into a can of Diet Coke that is newly opened for the game. I need a little caffeine. I had a travel day of, and it's that time of year, guys. So the Diet Coke, I mean, just you've all seen it at a party, at anything, when something like that spills. I mean, in that moment, the thing falls, it's newly opened, and you're just, there's Diet Coke going everywhere.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Plus, you have no Diet Coke. Your Diet Coke is all over the monitor.
He's on the mic.
I know.
Right, right. Oh, by the way, Cam Jones is driving in the basket for Marquette, and he lays it up and in. I'm trying to save my laptop. There's Diet Coke going everywhere. The game is happening. So we explained briefly that, you know, things are kind of chaotic currently at our workplace, but the game's going on. The viewer at home doesn't give a, you know, Bill in Milwaukee watching the game wants me to call the game. So we maneuvered our way with some paper towels and doing play-by-play at the same time, and we figured our way through, and my laptop is still alive.
Like I said, you're a hero.
Oh, gosh. I sure as hell don't wear a cape.
All right, so let's touch on some college hoops, some of the bigger topics in college basketball. Rick Pitino has turned that St. John's team around. I guess it's not surprising because it's what he does.
Exactly. He is a master at turning programs around. This is what he's done. This goes all the way back to Boston University and Providence. I mean, he took Providence to a Final Four in 1987. It goes back to Kentucky. When he took over Kentucky, that was, they were in a tough, tough spot. And, you know, he turned it into Camelot, as he calls it, and the Untouchables. And so this is what Rick Pitino has done throughout the course of his career. The man can't live without coaching basketball. He is 72. Guys, when people say, well, how does he do it? I could tell you how he's done it with this team, or I could tell you what he does as a human being. And I think that that's very much more interesting than just talking X's and O's for a moment. This man is 72 years old. Mm. He is up at 4:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. He heads to Equinox. He is on exercise machines going hard. Like, it was only one direct. This guy is into it. He's on machines. You know, he's doing a variety of things where he's climbing the stairs and whatnot. And he's doing that for 60 minutes to 90 minutes. Hard workout. He gets done with that. He goes back home to Mamaroneck, you know, works out at St. John's. It's, Rick loves New York. You know, he's got a private jet sitting at Westchester Airport that he could take just about anywhere that he wants to go to, whether it be Miami or wherever. But he's a New Yorker at heart, and this for him is why he loves, you know, it's why he took the Iona job and why he took St. John's. He didn't have to move. But he goes back home. He walks his dog 2 miles. So by 7:30 a.m., this man has done a level of fitness that is just absurd. He heads into the office, does 3.5 hours of individuals with players. He runs, when I say he does the individuals, a lot of coaches assign their assistants to run the individual sessions with players. He runs every one. He is the man in charge of all of them. Then goes to his office, does 30 minutes of desk work. The man doesn't eat till dinner. He eats one meal a day. He basically fasts through the day. Again, 72 years old. He comes out and he does practice for two and a half, three hours, handles some odds and ends, and heads to dinner. That's his day every day. You know, except when there's a game. This is all leading into a game. His work ethic is through the roof, and it's why you could argue that he's on, if you put together the best college coaches of all time, he's a candidate for that Mount Rushmore. And Krzyzewski's there, right? And Wooden obviously is there. And you know, you can then list Jim Calhoun and or Dean Smith or however you want to go about it. Boeheim, however you want to see it. But what he's now done with this team is, look, St. John's has unlimited NIL, so he doesn't have to sit in gyms over the summer and recruit. He's got the biggest talking point. And when he talks to these kids, he has an amazing ability to connect to every kid and get the most out of his talent. And that's what he's doing with this team. They defend relentlessly. I thought last night in the loss to Villanova, they actually didn't play their way. They hit some early threes and they played looser defensively. They are a team that when they're on defensively, they are so difficult to face. You get uncomfortable trying to run your offense against them. It's a New York City team that is tough, tough as you know what.
Is John Fanta pro or anti the Danny Hurley histrionics? I mean, we saw him in Creighton this week getting into it with the fans on Dollar Beer Night, pointing to his fingers for the two rings UConn's won. Mm. He's had a ton of high-profile run-ins with the refs. Are you pro or anti, you know, his basically what makes him what he is?
I'm pro. I mean, I think that what Dan can do with the fans, and he's not going to change. Mm-hmm. He is himself. Guys, college basketball struggles to break through. It's a sport that does, and I cover it all the time. And as you well know, in your area footprint, there are diehards. There are. The casuals, it takes some time, and they don't really fully hop on until March. Let's face it. But Dan Hurley doing this is good for the sport. It is. Because we're all discussing it. The country's discussing it. And so in terms of the fan interaction, like, that's fun. It so many times coaches just walk by people and it's, you know what? I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining. I think he is who he is. He's not, he's done apologizing for that. And my take on the officials is this, because that, so as a play-by-play broadcaster, I can tell you guys right now, we talk to the officials before every game. Every game. They come over to the table. Let's chat. Let's do this. Here is my thought. They have learned how to, they've learned about Danny's antics and whatnot. And you know, if things were that over the edge, right, and I'll get to that in a moment, he'd be getting thrown out every game. He'd be getting a technical every game. That's not the case. That's not the case. So one point that I have, and the officials even brought it up, like when people are sometimes on social media being like, this is terrible, and he's, you know, he's all over the place, and it's bad, and he's, his decorum is this, that, and the third. The officials are like, look, we've dealt with Bob Knight. You know, we've dealt with Krzyzewski, who could really lobby. Jay Wright could really lobby. Were they Dan Hurley? Everybody's different. Everybody has a different style. And Hurley is Hurley. But they're like, this doesn't faze us. It doesn't influence calls. And it doesn't. If you're watching UConn games lately, honestly, if anything, the only influence is it's not a good one. Like, that's just it. And it doesn't help them. It hurts them. But, like, I think it's interesting and compelling because it serves as it raises a talking point in the sport of college basketball, which needs them. And in a world where Krzyzewski and Wright and Roy Williams and Boeheim, Bob McKillop, I mean, I could keep going down the line of coaches who have said Jim Larrañaga, Tony Bennett. In a world where coaches keep leaving, the sport needs some identifiers that are synonymous with, you know, national talking points. So I'm okay with Hurley doing Hurley.
John, thanks as always for the time. It's always appreciated. It's John Fanta, national college basketball broadcaster and writer for Fox Sports. Best of luck to you and your wife. I believe the baby's coming in May, so that's awesome.
Yeah, congrats,
great for
buddy.
You guys.
Baby on the way in May. Thank you, guys. Hey, watch out for those Maryland Terrapins. I like their makeup. I like the offensive balance. I think they are a team that can be dangerous in March.
Yeah, we had Coach Willard on the show this week. I mean, they got a special player in Derek Queen.
Yeah, super stud.
They got that's somebody they can ride. Yeah. All right, thank
Coach
you.
Coach Willard's a good friend of mine. Don't believe any story of mine that he tells you.
Okay, we won't. Thanks, John. Appreciate
thanks,
it,
buddy.
Man.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. Friends, it is time to raise your standards. Open Road Distilling Company is now at Virginia ABC, exclusively in Northern Virginia. Whether it's the bold spice of Eagle Eye Rye, the smooth depth of Independence Bourbon, or the rich, ready-to-pour maple Old Fashioned, this is whiskey done right. For the full experience, visit them in Reston Town Center. We'll do EB's entertainment page next.